This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This week in Berea has been exhausting. I don't know if you feel this way. I don't know if you pay attention to the sound coming out of Berea, but starting with the loss against the Giants, this does not feel all that different than the week after the Cowboys lost to me.
No, it really doesn't. And it's heartbreaking right now for fans because expectations early on before the season started was, is this team a caliber play or playoff caliber team again? And now looking at it at 1-2 and listening to all the sound bites, this is rough.
Well, and it's how you lose and then how do you respond to losing. So like the Dallas loss, you at least got over it because the Jacksonville win, right? It was a brutal week. You had a lot to say. People were furious at Deshaun, furious at the way the game went down because they got blown out at home. And it just felt like all that sizzle, all that excitement went away. The Jacksonville game at least paused that. And it felt like Monday. Actually, Sunday at like 4:05. It was an unpause. And so here's the thing. At least coming off the Dallas game, you didn't have what we're hearing out of Berea that honestly, it's starting to sound like things that we remember from like the Hugh Jackson era and the Pat Shermer era. And I'm not trying to, the last year, the Mike Pettine era, where it's guys, whether it's the team not being on the same page with each other, whether it's the coach not being on the same page with the player. So for instance, we already had Deshaun and several guys take on, all right, who was responsible for the fumble? Deshaun really could have buried the whole thing. There's not a gripe of him. It's just an observation. He could have buried the whole fumble thing on Sunday by going, you know what? I've got to make that handoff. He didn't. And he still sidestepped blaming it on Jerome Ford. And basically was like, well, those things kind of happen, was basically the messaging. But Deshaun could have sidestepped all of this on Sunday just by going, that's on me. I'm the quarterback. I'll get it better next time. Well, now we're on to the noise from the RPO action, the second to last drive, where they had done the dumbest play imaginable, Jameis Winston on a 3rd-and-1, where you were, oh, misdirection. No, it was Jameis Winston for like a yard plus. It wasn't even like a, it was like a yard and like a third. And he just got stuffed. Then they keep the offense out on the field. And then on fourth and one, you go for the RPO look. And it didn't hand it off. Deshaun kind of froze and got bottled up. So yesterday, Deshaun was asked about all fan criticism and whether he hears it in that play on 4th-and-1. And here's what Deshaun said.
Because other people are not in the film room, so that not everyone know exactly what the read was. That was a decoy, so that's the difference. Everyone can pause the tape and say, hey, you know, he should have thrown it here. You know, every quarterback deal with that. So if you choose one play and that's the play out of the whole game that everyone is calling, so be it. It is what it is, you know. No one's in those film rooms. No one is making those decisions. So I go based off of what is Ken Dorsey and Kevin Stefanski is saying. And, you know, on that decision, they made a good play. They got jammed up on the slant. That's what we did it. The previous time when we scored a touchdown, I did the same as that read, and I hit Jerry. So, I mean, did I see it wrong then? You know, so for me, it's just, you know, like I said before, it's just I go based off what Kevin and Ken is making those decisions and how they're grading me on that.
All right, so before we get to anything else, because we didn't really play, I think we played it in the back half of the show, but what was your reaction to how Deshaun set that up, the idea of hearing criticism and then using the 4th-and-1 play as a for instance and saying it was a decoy?
Well, I think as a pro athlete, you have to block out the noise. And when you can't block out the noise of the fans of what they're saying, that's being pretty soft right there. And if you have a play, you're fourth and one, you have an opportunity to get that first down, and you miss your read. Like, that's what he did. He called it a decoy. He missed his read. He didn't. It wasn't a decoy. And then to throw it off on the head coach and the offensive coordinator to say, hey, I'll listen to them. We'll talk in the film room. But now all of a sudden, it's the rumblings. It's the grumbling again of what the Cleveland Browns are all about year in and year out.
So what I think, and I, because it, because this, Deshaun wasn't the only one with this. Jerry Jeudy agreed with him that on the idea that, well, fans don't really know what's going on. And Amari took a shot at the media today. We're going to play some of these things for you throughout the hour. My personal message to those guys is you are barking in the wrong direction. I'm not telling you you have to love what people say. It's hard. I'm sure you got it as a player. I'm sure you got it as a broadcaster. Dude, the amount of times that people say incredibly personal things to me to try and hurt my feelings. And there are times where if I'm not in the right frame of mind, it might get through. And you know what I have to remind myself? Well, they're not my boss. They're not me. They're not my wife. They're not my kids. Okay. But you know what I don't do? Say that to them. Because it only fuels the intense fire. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I'll accept Deshaun's answer on the fourth and one decoy. Because there is a part of this that, I don't know, he could be telling the truth, but nobody bought it. And this, the one thing I will say that this highlights is this dude could say the sky is blue and it's a beautiful day outside, and it would piss somebody off.
For sure.
The one thing that I will give to Deshaun is, and it's where I do empathize with him, there's so much vitriol for him. How could he not be affected? So it's not don't be affected, because that's impossible. You're a human. But you gain nothing from saying, well, I'm in the film rooms and the fans aren't. Whoo, man, those are the fans that you got to win over to make this thing a little bit easier. And I know it's hard; it's easier to say than it is to do, but man, that's, I would not advise that.
Well, and I go back to this too. If you're playing against the Steelers, if you're playing against the Bengals when they're going good, it's one thing. You're playing against the New York Giants, yeah, a game at home that you're supposed to win. I mean, you go back, you win Jacksonville. Now you come in, you're 1-1. You're supposed to win this game. It's not like, oh, maybe you might win this game. This is a win on the schedule that you're like, you're at home, you're supposed to win this game. And now all of a sudden you open up a can of worms.
So here's the other thing. I'm glad you pointed out the Giants game, because with that being said, you can say this stuff when you win. You can. If you want to, oh, I didn't like that booing, do it when you're 5-1. Do it when you're 7-1. Do it when you're 8-4. You can't do it when you're 1-2, when everybody on the planet thinks you should be 2-1. Now here, so we played Deshaun's answer yesterday. We played a little bit in the second half of the show. I'm inclined, when somebody says, hey, here's what the play is, I'm inclined to believe them, or that he was really trying to hit Jerry over the top, I think is what he was trying to say there. I just think going after the fans is a no-win. But then Ken Dorsey spoke to the media today, and he was asked about what Watkins said about the decoy play and Akins being the decoy. And here's where it started to feel like same old Cleveland Browns.
Obviously, I don't want to get into like specifics of reads and how we're doing things, but you know, it's just, it all falls back to just our execution from top to bottom, you know, going out and executing at a better level, you know, in a situation like that, you know, and that.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
That's everybody, you know, not just Deshaun. That's all players involved, you know, right there. And I think when you look at that, at a lot of plays, you know, you could freeze frame something and say, you know, hey, could have done this, could have done that. But in that position, in that viewpoint in which the quarterback has, you really have to trust your eyes and trust what you see and trust your progressions. And so that's something that, you know, we will look at and continue to evaluate that play every play.
So on one hand, I think within the idea of I don't want to comment on actions, plays, things like that. On one hand, it is an acknowledgement that Deshaun was probably a little out of pocket for saying what that play was and giving that away. Because that is something that I think is verboten with Kevin. Is that, did you hear that the same way?
I did.
All right. So the other thing I heard was, you know, it's on the player to execute. It's like, listen, this is one of those scenarios where you are in a no-win situation if you're Ken Dorsey. I think you open up the can of worms, though, if you go, well, I'm not going to comment on that, but it's on the quarterback's job to get that right.
Right. It goes from the top down. Ken Dorsey sends out the play. Deshaun Watson calls off the play. And then he says, hey, this is a decoy. Check down. I don't make the play. Now there's a lot of finger pointing in that locker room.
Yeah, and that's even if it's not what's actually happening.
Right.
It's what it looks like. And it's like, okay, how hard was it? I believe Nicolas Cage and the National Treasure Boys are trying to come through the bottom of the studio right now. I don't know if anybody heard that. It's definitely somebody's song. That's neither here nor there. But it is one of those things where in Berea, it's the perception, they always try and say the perception is worse than reality. And in reality, it's always been reality. It's been far worse than the perception. So while I'm here to say the last 4 years have been a nice departure from that, this reminds me of 2021, where it was like, okay, the quarterback, because this goes back to in the preseason where Kevin and Deshaun didn't seem on the same page whether Deshaun was going to play in the final preseason game, and where Deshaun, even in his other comments, didn't seem like he wanted to play. So it's like, okay, the easiest thing, you had 12 hours to script an idea of, well, I don't want to comment on this, but what I will say is, we're confident in Deshaun. We think that what he saw, what he said was right. I think in this case, knowing how much fire Deshaun is under, I think you got to just agree with the player to tamp this down because he's already lit the fire. And with this answer, you pour a little gasoline on it where it need not be and paint a picture that you guys are maybe either not lockstep or you're not happy that he said what he said yesterday.
Well, I think the other difficult part too is, you're trying to prepare as a team for an away game against the Raiders, and you're still talking about what happened last Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, in the locker room, it's, we can talk about it all day on the air, but in the locker room, it's still the perception on the forefront is this is what happened this past Sunday. Can we get back on the same page? And I'm going to go back and say, because Deshaun Watson not playing in any of the preseason games, getting those reps, coming off of surgery, not getting those reps, not being at top tier right now of what we're expecting, that's kind of playing into the picture as well, being 1-2.